On this edition of Community Conversation, I'm Dale Gartner. We're going to be talking about, of course, we're in the fall season, and it means for a lot of people, that means hunting, too. And we are going to be talking a little bit about that here on the program with my guest, emergency medicine specialist at the Henry Ford Legion's Health in Jackson, and that is Dr. Ellen Lazara. And, Doctor, it's good to have you back on the program once again.
All right. Thanks so much, Dale. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, we're in that time, and the deer certainly are on the move right now. And, of course, a lot of hunters are going to be wanting to get out to do their hunting. So I understand that you're a big hunter yourself, Doctor?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say I'm a big hunter, but I definitely love it. It's one of the things that I've grown into. I kind of grew up and learned from my father and my godfather how to hunt, and they took my brother and I, you know, dove and deer hunting when we were young, and then there was a big gap because we used to wrestle in the fall, and there's a lot of deer hunting that happens in the fall, and we were wrestling instead. So after I got out of medical school, or during medical school, I really got into it because of the, you know, the idea of being close to your food and this, like, really great way to be in nature, and kind of, it's kind of like hiking with a purpose, you know? You're out there looking for something.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there a particular animal you like to hunt better than others, or not?
I'm a pretty Midwestern guy, so I love deer, but I think if I could only hunt one animal just for the fun of it, probably be squirrels, because they're so fast, and they taste a lot like chicken if you cook them right. So, yeah, I love hunting squirrels for sure.
Okay, tasting like chicken, I did not know that.
I
learned
all
something.
All game meat is, it's all on how you prepare it, and I've only done, let's see, deer, dove, and squirrel, but yeah, every time there's a steep learning curve. It's not as forgiving as beef or pork, but
sure.
You know, it's very natural, very delicious for sure.
Yeah. So where do you typically hunt at then, Doctor?
I found the problem in Michigan and a lot of Midwestern states, there's a lot of private land, and there's not a tremendous amount of public land, especially in the lower peninsula. I think we only have about 2% of our land mass in the lower peninsula is public. So, you know, around here, you know, there's Waterloo State Rec Area. I was just there the other day, Summit State Park. I can't remember the exact name.
Sure.
But there are... those are tremendous resources that have been set aside for, you know, for future generations, and it's for people that, you know, can't own their own private land or don't get permission to hunt on somebody else's private land. Those are the places that are real treasures for us down in the Lower Peninsula. So I use those. I go hunt in Chelsea. I have permission out in Chelsea, so I hunt deer out there, you know, every fall and winter. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, being that you're involved in emergency medicine and you're a specialist in that, Doctor, I'm sure there are some hunter-related injuries that you see. What are the most common ones that you experience?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely, around this time, it's kind of a morbid thing, but we start hearing about people, you know, hunters falling out of trees. Like it's an annual event, you know,
Yeah. And
it definitely happens early October. That's when bow season opens. And people use these various different kinds of kind of like ladders or climbers to get up into a tree anywhere from 10 to 30 feet up in the air. And, if something goes wrong, they don't wear a harness, they strap in wrong, or the weather's bad, they can slip out and fall, and I would say that's probably one of the more common serious sets of injuries we see. But, you know, we see people who are cleaning their deer and they accidentally cut their finger, or I saw, you know, in my career I've seen people accidentally stab themselves, like in the radial artery right by their wrist, and, you know,
ooh,
it's like a horror movie. There's so much blood
Yeah. Coming
out, and they have to put a tourniquet on, and then, of course, always fish hooks, which is, you know, we'll rope fishermen and women and with hunters, and fish hooks getting stuck in legs and faces tends to happen more in the summertime.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, you mentioned about, you know, the falling out of the trees. Tree stands normally offer a better vantage point for the hunters because you get a better view of the game that you're hunting compared to hunting on the ground. Tree stands also are a contributing factor to the deer hunting season, as you mentioned. So what types of injuries have you seen related just to tree blinds in itself then, Doctor?
You know, we don't really see a tremendous number of tree blinds where people are sitting on the ground. We don't see a lot of those injuries. The rate of, you'd be more prone to be getting a firearm injury if you were more on the ground, but the rate of firearm injury in the United States is about 1.6 per 10,000 hunters, so it's pretty darn low. But when you look at tree stand related injuries, that rate is anywhere between 4.5 to 6 per 10,000 hunters. So we're looking at like a 2.5 to 3 times fold increase in what you're actually going to be injured by if you're out deer hunting. I don't think a lot of people realize that. I mean, for a long time, hunter safety really hammered home, you know, blaze orange and gun safety. And, you know, every year we need to remind ourselves of that kind of stuff. And in fact, in my hunting camp that I go to in southern Illinois, I print the, you know, firearm safety rules, put them on the fridge, and we all review it every year just as a, you know, kind of a formality. But it's always good to have a reminder. But I, you know, people in general, I think the public, medical personnel, hunters themselves don't realize how dangerous tree stands can be, that trees are actually more dangerous than guns in a lot of ways for the modern hunter.
Well, is it better to start with a blind that's ground level then, and as they gain more experience, work their way up?
You know, not necessarily. I think, you know, these tree stands, although they can be very dangerous, they're very approachable. I mean, as long as you're, like anything else, you know, if you're going to learn how to use a chainsaw or you're going to learn how to drive a car, you know, any of these things where you can injure yourself, you want to read the manual, watch a couple videos, you know, have somebody who knows how to use it, show you how to tie the knots you need to know how to tie, and, you know, what's the procedure. And one of the resources I would refer people to, of course, with every tree stand that's purchased nowadays, just about every tree stand, there's a educational DVD that comes with it, some written material, and a free harness that comes in there. So I would encourage people to use those materials, but also if some of that stuff's a little long-winded, you can go to the DNR website, the Michigan DNR website, and they have, you know, safety videos on firearms and tree stands that are pretty short and sweet, but give you really good cursory reminders of what are things you shouldn't forget about.
Yeah. Don't do like maybe a lot of people may do is like, oh, I know how to put this together and bypass that. It's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we see it's less like, you know, tree stands collapsing because somebody misassembled them. It's more so, you know, we see not only in my personal experience but also in the research that I've read, people tend to fall when they're either climbing up or climbing down. You know, they're doing something that they shouldn't be. They're carrying their bow or their gun with them. They should be using a haul line instead to pull their weapon up to them or their backpack up to them. Or, you know, they just slip. And the overarching theme of all the tree stand injury research is that people are just not wearing their harnesses. You know, a lot of these studies show kind of an abysmal rate of use, anywhere from 2 to 12% of, you know, people that are falling are wearing their harness. And so that's a really small number. Of course, we would expect people who are falling, you know, to not be wearing their harnesses. But, you know, some people might think, well, the harness breaks, but that's just not, that's not the standard MO. You know, people usually just say, I had it on, I didn't clip in.
Yeah.
I was going to put it on. I've heard people say, I was going to put it on when I got to the top of my stand, which is total, it's like saying, I'm going to buckle my seatbelt when I get to my destination. That's kind of silly, right?
You know? Yeah, right.
So that's the main thing that we see.
Well, when it comes to the tree stands, is there a particular standard that hunters should be looking for in your experience that you may recommend?
You know, a lot of the so I actually am in the process of writing a research paper, and so for that I did a lot of background research, and there are some non-for-profit organizations that put us in kind of a safety certification or say that this stand has met the group's self-policing, you know, industry standards. And that group's called the Tree Stand Manufacturers Association. And a lot of the really big brands have that label on there. And part of that is, you know, you have to have certain specifications for the strength of the metal being used. And like in the middle 2000s, they said one of the requisite things is you have to provide a harness, you have to provide educational material with every tree stand, which is why, you know, a lot of people wonder, like, how come I get a free harness every time I buy a stand? I don't really need 5 harnesses, you know?
Right, right.
But I think that TMA certification is something to look for, but also, you know, many of the stands nowadays are, you know, much better than, like, what people were using back in, you know, the 1990s or earlier than that, so.
And so, I mean, there's a lot of progress that's been made in that then, right, Doctor?
For sure. There's a lot of engineering progress. There's a lot of design progress. Things are much quieter. They're more sleek. They're more camouflaged. But just like with automobiles, you know, you can say that automobiles are so much more, you know, so much safer nowadays than they were in the 1970s when everybody was driving around a steel box. But, you know, a car is only the safest when you're wearing your seatbelt. You know, it's the same thing with the tree stand. If you're not wearing your safety harness and you're not clipped in, it doesn't matter how safe the stand is. It doesn't matter how high you put it. It's still a big risk to take if you're not wearing your harness.
Is there a particular way or good way to, I mean, to get yourself up there is to be safe, but to get your gear up there? I mean, I'm sure there's do's and don'ts about that.
Yeah, and that's covered on the DNR website as well okay. as in Hunter's Education, where they talk about using a haul line. You know, when you're climbing anything, you want to have 3 points of contact. You want to have either, you know, both hands, 1 foot, both feet, one hand. And so as you're climbing, that alternates, and so you're not really able to carry something with you safely. So what they recommend is using a haul line or a small paracord to tie to your bow or to your gun. Definitely not on the trigger guard. Don't ever tie anything to that. And the gun has to be unloaded, of course. And then you climb up to your stand, and then you pull your firearm or your bow up to you. That way, you know, you can concentrate on climbing and not on dropping your, you know, $500 bow or gun.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, when it comes to protection, you know, we want to make sure our hunters are protected and are safe. Do you recommend them wearing any type of ear protection or eye protection at all, Doctor?
I think, I'll say sort of. So it would be really hard to hunt deer if you had earplugs in, because I think more often than not, I hear the deer before I see it. So
right.
I don't wear ear eye protection when I'm in my stand. But if I go to the range or I'm practicing, I definitely wear ear and eye protection. Super important, because over time, those loud reports from the firearm will damage your hearing, especially if you shoot a lot. And, you know, if you go to any public gun range, it's mandatory that you wear eye and ear protection. And also for the people that are standing near you, they should be wearing that as well.
Sure.
Because it can affect their eyes and ears too.
Sure. Okay. Well, we want to make sure that we keep our hunters safe throughout the entire hunting season. So, Dr. Lazara, is there just one tip that you would like to give for hunters in our area? There's just one thing that you'd like to pass along. What would that be?
I'd say wear your harness and use your harness. If you're climbing up something, put a harness on, just like a seatbelt. I hope hunters, you know, spouses, wives, husbands are hearing this, and they'll remind your grandkid, wear your harness just like you wear your seatbelt. And the last thing is review the gun safety rules every year. I don't think it can hurt. They are wonderful, amazing tools, but they are extremely dangerous. And so we need to make sure that we respect them by, you know, honoring the rules that we've all agreed upon to make us safe as a society and as hunters. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, some excellent advice, and I certainly do appreciate it and hope our listeners appreciate it as well. As you mentioned, make sure that this is passed along to those who are going to be hunting. So Dr. Alan Lazara, who is the emergency medicine specialist at Henry Ford Allegiance Health in Jackson, thank you so much for your time here this afternoon on the program. And do appreciate it, and happy hunting and safe hunting to you as well.
Thanks, Dale. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you, guys. Everybody stay safe.
You too. Thanks so much. This has been Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gartner, and we'll see you again next time.